Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian and I are diving into retargeting and making sure you're getting the most return on spend from all your paid traffic that you're coming into your site. We dive into the weeds a little bit, and we also go through a lot of information about who this is for, who it's not for, and when to get started with it. So let's get started. Hi, Ian. How are you?
Hello, Mark. Very well. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Today, we thought we'd go and talk a little bit about retargeting, because obviously, if we're driving a lot of traffic to our website with lots of paid traffic, getting the most out of that spend is very, very important. And obviously, retargeting helps you to recover some of that spend. And over the 10, 15 years we've been doing this, when we first started, retargeting wasn't even a thing. With the probably caveat to that being like, if you had email and you had caught some email, you could email them back. But now that it's got quite advanced and you've got lots of different areas where you can retarget, and so let's dive into it. So
yeah,
when I say
hang on a second, just show where it fits in the overall before you get super technical and go into the weeds. As we can sometimes do. Basically, the metric that you're looking to for this to affect is your conversion rate, and often it's linked to the time to buy. So how long people take to buy something. So when they first land on your site, sometimes it can be 2 days, sometimes it can be 2 months, sometimes it can be even longer than that. So you need a mechanism to keep in touch with this person. And it's better to hit one person 5 times than 5 people once, because they're just not going to buy in their first visit. And it isn't generally because there's something technically wrong with the website. It's mainly because they're not sure if they want to buy. They're not sure if they're ready. Not sure if they need it. And they're not sure if they want to buy it from you. So you need something to keep in touch. We call it the buying window. That's essentially what we've always said over the years. It's like, what is the buying window? So for something like, to use the most famous example that we always use, the car battery, the buying window of buying a car battery online, because it's such a distressed problem-solving purchase, is a day. Whereas the buying window for a beautiful dress for a wedding that you're going to, you might start looking at that 2 or 3 months in advance. So it's very, very different. And so the buying window is key. The key is actually the messaging that goes with it. So obviously, you've got to understand the job you've done. So it's not to say, because remarketing is key in both of those, if it's a day or 2 months, the remarketing is key. It just tends to be that the car battery is like, buy it now, got to get it now, immediate dispatch, same day collection, there's an offer on, price match guarantee. It's like literally, it's everything right in your face. Whereas the dress is much more about lifestyle and, showing them what they're going to feel like. So all the remarketing's got to be coordinated with that. But ultimately, I'll stop speaking now, but it's about the conversion rate. That's the metric that it will affect. And particularly for your recruitment conversion rate. For new customers who don't yet know who you are, what's your brand, what you stand for, they need a lot of reassurance and credibility to make the decision to buy from you. Once they're in, tend to be a little bit easier, a bit more responsive. But obviously the first point of call, you've got to stop them buying it from somebody else. So the remarketing really has to work hard. And it can't just be a technical exercise of, there it is, there's an email, there's a Google Shopping, there's a Facebook remarketing. It has to be really reinforcing the job to be done and why they should buy from you. So that's my summary.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I think you nailed the point there, which is that if you're selling something like a car battery and you try and remarket after 30 days, the horse has already bolted because they've already bought. You don't tend to look for a battery, car battery, for 30 days. You tend to look for a battery today because you need one because your car's broken down. So that shows you that, like you said, the buying window, you know, it's shut. But if you know you've got a longer buying window, like some expensive furniture, you do have more chance to, make sure the person is you know, seeing the products and getting the right message across. So
yeah,
just wanted to go through the main remarketing channels that an e-commerce site would use, so that people can understand what we're exactly talking about. And the first one would be email retargeting. So that's basically, you know, in a nutshell, the first thing that everybody knows about is abandoned baskets. So abandoned baskets would be probably the first remarketing that most people would be targeting, what people would do. And that would be people who'd gone to the basket page, gone to the checkout page and left. They've obviously got entered their email address, and then they've been followed around with an abandoned basket. Next step back from that for email retargeting would be people who have gone to the basket page, or gone to the product page, or even gone to the category page, and then having browser abandonment emails. And those are triggered only if the website knows the email address of the person on the session on the site. And obviously, to get that email address, you need to either have driven them from an email blast out, so like a normal email, big email to the list, which then tags that email address in the URL when they click through. So the website goes, oh, no, this is Mark Hammersley. He's clicked through on a link. I've got his email address. So when he abandons the website after looking at that product page, I can send him a follow-up browser abandonment email. Or if I'm a new visitor and I haven't come from the email list, then they've either done some live chat flow where they've asked me my email address, or they've done some kind of like banner, you know, give us your email address for an offer, and got my email early in the session, so that therefore they can control the emails that come back afterwards. So email retargeting can be very powerful. And it can be powered a lot more by making sure that the amount of sessions that you have the email address for means that the amount of emails you can send massively goes up.
Well, it makes sense. You know, most people will probably have, they think they've got basket abandonment emails, but actually what they've probably got is a checkout abandonment email. Because yeah, it's only traditionally when you go into the checkout, that's when you start to get the email address. Whereas if you think, yeah, and they're always very powerful emails, and you can obviously do a series of them. You can do two or three with the offer architecture amplified and the reason to act now, all the call to action things that we talk about. So you can, you know, if you start to bring that much further towards the homepage, you know, earlier on in the journey, you can trigger an enormous amount more. If you get the email address, you can trigger out an enormous amount of more of them, and it's an absolute no-brainer. You know, without these remarketing things set up, the great thing about them is a lot of them can be completely automated. You know, the Google Shopping ones, the Google ones, the Facebook ones, or the email ones, they're the main ones, aren't they? They can be automated. And if you don't have them set up, it's like having a leaky bucket. You know, you're driving the traffic in the top and they're just falling out. They're leaky. They're just, you know, they're disappearing, which, of course, you're going to get to a certain extent. But it really is, you know, once it's set up properly, it's like creating that really nice conveyor belt type of approach where you're putting traffic in the top, and you know that the website and the whole environment is really helping convert these people. I mean, you can be very, you know, you can do series of them. You can have three or four different series on Facebook, can't you? The different videos that are following people up. So everything should be linked together, because it's one person, you know. You can't just think about, right, we'll have remarketing on email done, and then we'll have a separate remarketing on Facebook done. It's like everything, it's the same person, you know.
Yeah,
same person who's being hit by your stuff, but it has to all be joined up. It has to be consistent, and it's not just a technical exercise of ticking a box. It's a fascinating area, and I always think, from a traffic perspective, you start from the bottom up in terms of your paid channels. You start with maximizing all these little things, the remarketing campaigns. And when that budget is not asking, it's when it's asking for, I've run out, I'm remarketing to everybody I should be, then you start to put more traffic in the top of the funnel, with the more awareness campaigns, traffic building ones, knowing that you've got all these little mechanisms in place. And so if you get it right, it's a wonderful feeling that you've got this really active, machine that is not just doing it from a technical perspective, but it's really taking the customer on a journey, because they don't buy in the first visit. They really don't. They take a lot more handholding, particularly for the more considered purchase ones. But let me ask you a question, Mark. You wouldn't remarket to everybody, would you? If you were saying, on Google or Facebook, we wouldn't do that, would we? We wouldn't recommend. For example, if somebody came onto the homepage and bounced off, you wouldn't. You'd take them out, wouldn't you?
Would you want to get into the weeds a bit in terms of Google AdWords remarketing?
Slightly.
A little bit? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Google AdWords, Google Ads now, is what it's called. So remarketing, what you'd want to start off is as you build up your audiences. So you have to build your audiences in Google Analytics that you're going to remarket to. Now, in the beginning, those audiences won't be full. So you'll be forced at the beginning to, if you want to run remarketing, to actually remarket to everybody. And then as they fill up, so you'd probably do the first audience you'd do is like all visitors 30 days. As that's filled up, you'd be creating another audience at the same time, which would be all visitors 30 days minus bouncers. So that'd be the next level down. So then once that 30 day visitors minus bouncers is populated, then you can start running to that. And then you might go and say, right, I want to go and target people who have been on the site for more than 6 minutes. People have been on the site for more than 6 minutes, 30 days in the last 30 days. And when that one's filled up, then you can then target that one. Mm. And then you would then start becoming more granular, like 15 days, people have been on the site,
also,
6 minutes, so 15 days.
What you're basically saying is you maximize the budget in the areas of remarketing to people that you think are more likely to convert.
Yeah, so you look at the behavior on the website and you go, so 6 minutes might not be right for you, but a lot of the sites I run, I go and look, well, I've got... If I look at the people in a segment in Google Analytics to say, oh, show me everybody who's on the site for more than 6 minutes, the conversion rate goes up from like 3% to like 15, 16%, something ridiculous, something really high. And I'll go, well, how many actually bought who were on the site for more than 6 minutes? Oh, I got 3,000 orders from people who've been on the site for more than 6 minutes. But then how many people actually were on the site for 6 minutes but didn't buy? And it's like, oh, well, I've got 15,000. So therefore, I've got 15,000 minus however many people bought. And that's actually quite a lot of people that are really engaged but didn't buy.
I know. And the philosophy of it all that I think this is fascinating is that the almost buyers were the same as the buyers. So the people that didn't buy, they're the ones that we need to focus on because they did everything that the buyers did. But they just didn't buy. They spent 6 minutes on the site. They had, clicked through, 17 pages. They came back, four times. They did everything, but they just didn't quite get over the edge. And it's those people that we want to focus on. Because, the site, an average conversion rate on a site, let's say between, 2% for a new, heavily recruiting new customers all the time. And then 4-5% for that's got a reasonably good balance of lifetime customer value. So you think even if it's 5%, 95% of people that come on the site don't buy. So it's the next few percent. It's like if your site's converting at 5%, how many did exactly the same thing, but just didn't quite buy? And that's where remarketing is absolutely key. But it's also got to resonate with the job to be done and uncovering the anxieties. You've really got to get into the head of that so that your remarketing messages are actually adding value, not just, hey, here's a product, buy it.
Yeah, here's a product, here's an offer and what you're doing. It's basically, that a lot of those people, they haven't bought. They've probably got a reason why they haven't bought. And so throwing into those series, especially if those are really engaged users, a conversation starter email, it works really, really well because You know, you'll find, like, I was a surfboard company that I was working with, and they were basically they were starting a conversation because someone would like be spending like, you know, 10 minutes on the website looking at surfboards, and they're like, well, I saw you looking at surfboards, do you have any questions? And often they did. It's like, yeah, does that one come in the fishtail, or, you know, is it going to be right for my weight, or all these kind of things. And if you're selling something more expensive, like, you know, like say a kitchen table for like £1,500, people probably have questions that they want to know specific to them.
Just what you do if it was in a physical store, you know, you could see these people coming in, you know, you'd see them, you'd go, they've been in three times this week. You know, they're going over to that table all the time. Look at it. You'd go over to them and say, hi, you know, listen, let me help. You know,
if you actually had them standing next to the table and you saw them standing next to the table for like hours, and you had a salesman that just went over every 5 minutes, went, do you want an offer? Do you want an offer? And then buggering off. They'd be like, no, we actually
and
want
so
to know.
Many times people yeah. treat. I tell you what, so many times, and we've done this on the course. We did a module 1 week on the retargeting and abandonment emails, didn't we? And everyone came to the course and said, yeah, we do that. Yeah, we've done that. And we went through each one. In the group, in that particular group, and it was just like a technical exercise, like no thought had been given to the emotion, the anxiety, you know, the credibility, or the, you know, the convincingness of what the business. It was literally just, it had been plugged in, turned on from the default email provider or the default, you know, ads in Facebook, with nothing. And it's such an important, so the equivalent would be that, yeah, you're in a shop and someone's coming in three times looking at this particular, you know, sofa or, you know, cashmere jumper. And the equivalent would be, you know, the shopping assistant, well, basically just says, do you want to buy it, mate? Do you want to buy it? Do you want to buy it? Do you want to buy it?
Do you want to buy it? Here it is. Easy to buy. And then they go, and then we're like, here's an offer. Do you want an offer? Free shipping. It's like, and they go, can we ask a question about it? No, you can't.
Yeah, so, buy it or just go. Exactly. And it's that, you've got to really get into that because it's such a powerful mechanism. It's amazing because you're literally following people around that you know should be buying. And it's an opportunity to really get it right.
Yeah. And Facebook remarketing is quite similar to Google Ads remarketing in that you create audiences, you know, you start with your broad audiences, and, you know, then you start looking at time on site, and you start looking at whether or not obviously they've added to the basket and whether they've looked at a product and all those Facebook events, and you start running them, and you'd have different ad sets for each level. So basically, you know, the people have been on the site for 60 days, who've maybe been on the site for more than 2 minutes, or et cetera. And you'd run them all next to each other, and then you'd work out what the return on ad spend was coming on them. And you'd obviously push the ones where it was lucrative, and you'd turn off the ones that, you know, you couldn't make. If you can't get, you know, all visitors to work with a decent ad spend, then you'd turn those off. The only difference with Facebook is that you have to control the frequency a little bit more. I mean, you can control the frequency in Google Ads, but it's less, it's usually less easy to kind of annoy people. Like the frequency in Facebook, you can very easily, if you give Facebook more budget, they will just absolutely spam the person so that they're seeing the advert 20 times a day. And, you know, it's just too much. So if you look at your frequency and your ad sets and your remarketing in Facebook, and you if it's kind of, if it's anything like really above 8, you're sending it too many times to that person.
Yeah. So I think, you know, you have to be mindful of the fact that, you know, whilst we're saying that remarketing is really, really powerful and it needs to be set up right, it is not a magic wand. You know, it will not make somebody buy something who isn't right.
No,
you know,
no.
It's not going to convince someone to buy it if they don't need it or don't want it. So you do have to be careful.
No, and here's an important point. And I think for people who are starting up, who are getting going, and they're listening to this, and they're going, I'm not getting any sales. If I get remarketing going, it's going to make my site work. It's not. It doesn't work like that. Remarketing and retargeting is like icing on the cake. It's not the core of the business. So, you know, you have to be making sales in their own, in your own right from your site without remarketing first, because it's only going to improve what's going there. You can't take a lemon, something that doesn't sell, and then put remarketing on and go, oh, now it, now my website's working. It's not, it's not like a
it's amplifying
game changer.
It's amplifying something that is already that working and making it better. And so what we basically mean by that is, do your market square test. So you make sure your value proposition is right. You you've actually got a competitive offering. You know, go out into the market and look at who else is selling products that are similar to yours, and do the market square test. If you don't know what the market square test is, go and read the book. And also go and do the anxiety, uncover the anxieties. You've got to get your core offering right.
So you've got to get selling. You've got to get selling, because let's say you've got a row, like a return on spend of 2, right? If you've got a turnaround and spend on 2, like you're spending £10, getting £20 back, okay, that's not profitable, but it's something you've got started. Now you can improve it. But if you've got a return on ad spend of 0, you're not in the game. You've got to get into the game. And I think that, I mean, obviously you work with a lot more of the enterprise stuff, Ian, and I work with a lot more of the startups in one of my groups. And I think that is something that people see. They kind of go and see all these shiny things like these Emetrias and these Klaviyos and all these sequencers and these things, and they go, oh, that's why my site's not working, because I've not got all this stuff. And it's, you know, it, like all the successful e-commerce sites that I work with, they can sell despite the problems. So you know, I was looking at one the other day, and I've been doing AdWords for him for a while now, and I, you know, I thought he'd gone through the course and I thought he'd done other things, and I looked at it and it's like, well, no, his product page hasn't been optimized, his basket page hasn't been optimized, but he's still selling because he's selling the products in the right area at the right price at the right value and providing the right things. People will overcome a lot of these things, the optimizations that we talk about, if you've got the right offer and value proposition. They'll go through that. People will fight through a very horrible checkout experience because you're the person they want to buy from. And that's where you've got to get right. And then a lot of the stuff we talk about here with retargeting and optimizing stuff is basically taking what you're getting, some sales that you're getting from your paid, and actually making it super profitable. So therefore you can then go and increase your spend on Google Ads and Facebook and stuff and scale the business. So I think that's important to say, because if you're struggling with sales and you've not got anything going, you've got to get your core offer right. Yeah. And I know we've gone off into the weeds a bit.
It's so true. But, well, no, I don't think that's going off. I don't think that's going into the weeds. I think that's a fundamental truth that we absolutely 100% believe in. And you know, a lot of the work that we end up doing is around that core offering. Yeah. You know, and fundamental business practices. I was with a client last week, and we were talking about the average order value and lifetime customer value. And we were saying that, you know, the problem with this business is the average order value is too low and the lifetime customer value is too low. So, you can't have a business that's got a low average order value and a low lifetime customer value. You've got to have either low average order value, high lifetime customer value, or high average order value, low lifetime customer value. And it's like, it's that sort of stuff that you've got to fundamentally understand. And so remarketing, I think it's, you're right to raise it, because remarketing is absolutely one of those shiny things that people can get distracted with. It's like, you, there is no magic box in e-commerce. There's no magic wand. And no matter how many times that we say this.
A magic box. That sounds good. I'd like a magic box.
Yeah, of course. Of course. You know, no matter how many times you say it, the reality is it is essential, basic business fundamentals. And in fact, I was in a meeting today, and I was chatting to a new potential Strat client for us, and we were talking about this, like this magic box syndrome. And I think it, you know, back, you know, 15 years ago, you know, you did well online due to the fact that no one else was online. You know, you knew just by being there, you know, meant that you kind of did well because no one else was there, and you just had, you know, whereas that is not the case now. You cannot just throw something up and expect it to work. You've got to really understand. It's like going into the Trafford Centre and every shop in the Trafford Centre selling the same things you are, which is shopping arcade near Manchester. But going back to coming back, like if you've got your you're on piece, you've figured out your basic foundations, you're selling. This is the next go to area to get right.
Yeah. You'd be running remarketing. You'd be silly not to. Yeah. And especially getting your high engaged people being remarketed to and getting that going. And then you're doing your email, your browser abandonment emails, and your conversation starters, and you know everything you can do to keep the conversation going.
If I put a gun against your head, Mark, if I said, okay, at what point traffic volume or paid advertising budget of driving traffic, when would you start this? Would you start it simultaneously when you're starting driving paid? What would that answer be?
Yeah, I'd set them up at the same time, because you can't start them anyway until you've got enough traffic.
You're going to do it at some point, aren't you?
Yeah, in Google Ads, you might as well set the audience. It's basically like having a bucket. So it's like if you had a physical shop and people started coming in and people were left their business cards as they went out, and you said, well, I can't do anything with that bucket until it's full of business cards. You'd put the bucket there by the door as soon as possible, wouldn't you? As soon as you opened, you'd go, right, we've got, you know, because once that's filled and full, I know I can get some money out of that bucket. So you'd set that bucket up straight away. So that's what you do, but you can't do anything with it.
Because it's also simple. It's easy. It's not complicated to do it as well. You know, it's kind of built in, isn't it, to Shopify. It's easy to do in Magento. You know, it's straightforward. Yeah. So get it done. You're absolutely right. Otherwise, it's like having a leaky bucket, isn't it? You know, you're pouring stuff in the top and it's not working. So you do it at the same time. But make sure you're really thinking about the job to be done or covering the anxiety. You've got to add value.
Yeah, but it's a leaky bucket with a small hole. It's not a leaky bucket with no floor in it. So basically, remarketing is not going to completely, you know, cover the whole of the floor of the bucket. So if you've got a bucket and you're putting stuff in it and you're not getting any sales, you need to actually put some floor of the bucket in first to make sure you're selling. Yeah. So I think that's really what you would do with retargeting those kind of areas. And the thing is, there's a lot of shiny tools out there. And I think that it's like the hardest thing when you're running an e-commerce store is to deal with what your unique selling point is. And it's the same for all business. And someone goes, oh, you've got to have a unique selling point. It's very easy to say. Sometimes it's very hard to actually think about and to actually work on. And so therefore you want to go and work on things like setting up remarketing, because it's work and it's done. And you can see it's done at the end of it. It's done. But I would encourage you, if you haven't got your unique selling point sorted out, to go and focus on that, to make sure you can understand, because that's what people who do, who are very successful, they hunt around the world in Australia, America, and all the English speaking countries for business models that people are using to sell these products. And they go, oh, I can see how they're doing it. I can see how the offer's doing it. I can see what the returns policy, and they're smashing it. Why don't I bring that to the UK? That would be, you know, I'd make money. And rather than just setting something up and kind of with a hope and a prayer, they go live with something that they know is going to work. So, you know, there's lots of millionaires that have been made in New Zealand. I say millionaires, but you can't buy much with $1 million these days in New Zealand, but multi-millionaires in New Zealand who've taken stuff from America and the UK and just done it in New Zealand, because no one's bothered with New Zealand because it's too small. Mm. And you know, that they took models. You're looking for models that work. So
yeah.
Digressing a bit. Anyway, get your retargeting going.
Yay.
Buy our book.
Everyone must have bought it by now.
Surely.
We need to rewrite it and do revision 2.
I know, it's too busy talking so to everybody on these group calls.
So much to say, so many new things. Yeah. Very good foundation there.
Yeah. And if you do want it and you haven't got it, it's at ecommercebook.co.uk. So go and grab a copy and get into the ecosystem. And also you'll get emails when we do new podcast episodes and the bonus podcast that people don't always put onto the website. So secret stuff. Yeah. Go.
It's so right, secret. Ian. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Which one it is.
Where we slag Ian off and he doesn't know.
Yay. About it.
Yeah. All right. I'll speak to you next week. Thank you very much, everybody, and have a great week.
Bye.